and welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedar Stark.
Awesome. It's so good to be here.
Yeah.
Once again. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this, this is a program that we did early.
Yep.
In preparation.
Yeah.
For Jordan to have his, Jordan and his wife to have their baby.
Exactly.
So Jordan has abandoned us for his family because apparently family first.
Who would have thought that the American
Family Association would be in support of family first?
Right. Yeah. So this episode, yeah, is sort of in the bag for right now, and until of course you're listening to it. Now it's out of the bag.
Yeah. So if you hear us talking about the weather outside, it may not be. It may have shifted since then.
Yeah, if a meteor has struck Earth and you're still listening, you know, you're like, wait,
congrats,
they didn't talk about
you survived.
It. Yeah. Start rebuilding civilization right now.
And our radio station is still going. That's
wow,
amazing.
Maybe it's not so bad. but yeah, I will be taking a break for a couple of weeks probably, and just kind of enjoying family and the new baby and supporting mama. And doing all the things that a dad
should
do.
And I'm telling you, I'm all for you supporting mama, especially since I love your wife more than you.
I love my wife more than you, too.
She's one of the most precious souls I've ever met. Yeah. And I've told you this before, but I would use you as a human shield to protect her.
Yeah.
And that's even when she's not pregnant.
I really hope we're never in that situation.
I hope not either, but I just want you to know where my standards are.
Right, yeah.
And where my priorities are.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Yeah, she is.
I like her a lot.
I hope she's listening.
No, she's not.
Okay. She just had a baby.
But I'll let her know. I'll tell her.
Okay. So we can move on.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of parents,
nice segue.
Parents with babies and moms and dads, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. Because you know what? We live in a world, we live in a society where, you know, everybody's got opinions.
Yeah, they do. And I think people come down so hard on parents.
Uh-huh.
And in so many areas where I do see there's so many parents that have kind of, I don't know, they've just kind of backed off parenting.
Yeah.
And some people say gentle parenting. I don't consider the bad parenting gentle parenting.
Yeah.
I consider it just not parenting.
Yeah, just sort of the free range, like.
There's no, well, it's,
no
it's not,
structure.
People do things differently, but when there's not like no structure and it's the no follow through at all.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, and I get you're tired, but your kid like needs that.
Yeah.
Needs you to follow through with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's not what we're talking about.
No, that's not what we're talking. But suffice it to say, there's a lot of opinions and a lot of different styles of parenting out there. And there's never a perfect one, but everyone thinks that theirs is perfect, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so, especially
I'm
you
right,
know,
you're wrong.
Yeah. You have your YouTube channels of, you know, little 20-year-old couples who have had, you know, two children, and they all of a sudden are experts.
I've seen the ones that gave birth to their first kid last week, and like now that I never knew how much things were going to change as a mom, here's what I've learned past 2 hours. And I'm like, girl, just shut off the camera and rest.
Yeah. Seriously.
Rest.
Yeah. Definitely. But there's something to be said about that. I don't think many people realize, and I certainly didn't, that there is no way for you to actually prepare for children. Like, you cannot.
You can try.
I mean, obviously, you can have the basics covered. You can, you know, have a way to support them and give them a, you know, shelter and food and clothing.
And when it comes to the newborn that just came out, for most of the time, they're pretty much just a baseline. There's not.
Yeah.
But every kid is different. Some kids, they start sleeping well earlier on. Some kids scream all night.
Yeah.
Some kids, you know, it depends. There's lots of factors.
There is a lot of factors. My wife would actually be an excellent person to have on for this conversation because that's essentially what she talks about all the time. She is a former nurse, current lactation consultant. Basically, her world is supporting little babies with all of their needs right off the bat.
And then she's got, you know, 3-in-1 on the way of her own.
Yeah. So she's an expert. So she would be the perfect person to talk to, but unfortunately, she's not here right now. But definitely, there is no way to – I can't stress hard enough how difficult it is to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is the hardest thing I've ever done. I think it's the hardest thing anyone has ever done.
Yeah, this little person. And yeah. They're completely dependent on you.
Yeah.
They can't do things on their own. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the whole pressure of, I'm the one that's shaping them.
Yeah.
I'm the one that God put over them yeah. to shape and mold them. I mean, ultimately, they're going to get older and they're going to start being able to think things for themselves. Mm-hmm. But you're like, up until that point, I'm the one that's like trying to provide them
yeah.
with a good stable home.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help lead them into following God themselves, make that decision themselves one day. Yeah.
I think that's something too that, you know, for whatever amount of wisdom me and my wife have gathered over the, you know, over our nearly a decade of parenting, and that's not a lot compared to some people, but still, I think it's something, that a parent, look, for parents, you're not able to shape and mold your children in that way. Like, they are individual human beings. There is a measure of that result that is going to be completely out of your hands. So putting that pressure on yourself to say, the person that they turn out to be is completely my responsibility. You can't have that responsibility.
Well, it's not. I mean, you have a responsibility as a parent to be that example.
Yeah.
But ultimately, in the end, eventually mm-hmm. they're going to be grown and they're going to make their own decisions.
Yeah, you're not creating a person. You're not creating an adult. God is. And the best thing, I think, the best responsibility that you can put upon yourself is to daily show them who God is, daily point them mm-hmm. to God. And I think that is so much of a much better goal to have every day than to be like, I got to make sure that one day they grow up to be a great person, you know, because you can't do that.
No, you can do your part.
You can do your part.
You know, you're going to answer to God for the way that you parented. But at the end, mm-hmm. your kids, again, like you said, is an individual.
Yeah.
And they'll have things themselves to answer to that
yeah.
are entirely their decision.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, we do need to take it seriously. These are human beings that God has given to be under our protection and under our guidance. But also putting that burden on the Lord as well and not being just crushed by it. And I think that's another thing. And I think especially stay-at-home moms struggle with. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, my wife could speak to this way better than I could.
Yeah.
But the daily serving your children and meeting their needs constantly, especially in those younger years, that's all I can really talk to. 8 years old and younger is basically the range that I have right now. We have not had teenagers yet. And I'm not excited about that. But those daily needs, and they never stop. Those needs never stop. And it's not just those, you know, mundane needs of, they need to eat lunch now. I need to make sure they have a drink with that lunch, you know. Are they getting a good diet, you know, or am I just desperately giving them peanut butter every day, you know, that kind of thing. Like, that weighs heavily, especially on stay-at-home moms. And I think that the church needs to be aware of that. And also, husbands need to be aware of that as well, mm-hmm. that when you come home from work, you're entering a place where battles have been fought.
Yeah.
And she hasn't been just sitting around all day. You know, it's time to step in
a little bit. I mean, your wife and it's like my sister. She's not just a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
She's the teacher. She's everything.
Yeah.
Like, the kids there, it's her job. She's overseeing their education. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff and all those day-to-day things that which you get to work from home sometimes, so you get to be a little more part of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then there are other times when you're not there and it's all on her.
Right. Yeah. And so being aware of that struggle.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Have you ever felt, though, like severe judgment from people for your parenting?
Oh, boy. That's a great question. Yes.
I won't ask you to name names.
No. I will say there has been a lot of things that we haven't brought up in certain circles because we know the conversations that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, people have extremely strong opinions, almost to the point where you're like, you want to remind them, look, this is not a central, you know, theological issue here, mm-hmm. whether or not our child is allowed to say this kind of word, or you know what I'm talking about, like a potty humor word. I'm not talking about cussing.
Yeah.
Or allowed to watch this kind of movie, or allowed,
like,
you know,
poot, but not poot.
Yeah, exactly. but there are these conversations that are out there, these debates and these really strong opinions about what you should and should not do with your children. And everybody's mm-hmm. got their own view, but to them, that view is gospel.
And I think there are so many things that are, I think, it just depends on parenting style.
Yeah.
But the main thing is, if you are rearing your child in a Bible-believing home,
yeah,
you're teaching them, like right now, I mean, some of yours are young enough, it's just creating, forming the habits. Like my sister, they, every night before bed, they have Bible time.
Yeah.
And they learn mm-hmm. a Bible story.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister's teaching them to pray before meals and before bed.
Yeah.
And so that's forming those habits. And so that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you're teaching them the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, as long as you're doing those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
some of the other things are so minor.
Yeah. Exactly.
And there are some things, like we've talked about before, screen time.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there should be a limit on screen time.
Yes, I agree. It's
a known thing. You can mm-hmm. see the effect severe screen time is having on kids.
And it has an effect on me personally, too.
Yeah.
I can tell a difference in my mental state after staring at a screen.
Number one, it's not good for
it's
you.
It's not good
physically,
for you, yeah.
But, and then mentally. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you let them watch, like, a cartoon while you're cooking dinner.
Yeah.
I don't think it's in the world.
No.
If it's the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And they've already tested your patience to the max and mm-hmm. you're tired and you just need to sit for a minute. You can put on an episode of one of your approved shows.
Yeah.
I think as long as you're staying plugged in and knowing what they're watching.
Yeah. That's the main thing.
And you're making sure they're still getting plenty of exercise and plenty of time without screens.
Yeah.
I don't think you're hurting anybody to let them watch a little something.
Yeah, and that's the approach we've taken in our household is that, you know what, screens are not evil. They're not the enemy.
It's a tool that can be used for evil or good.
Yeah, in our house, it's going to be used for good, and that's what we've done. So anything that comes over a screen in our household that's going to be consumed by our kids – is stuff that we've pre-approved. We know what it is, and we don't have an issue with it. And you know, time spent. Look, standards change depending on what stage you are in parenting. Some days you just got to be like, look, today's going to be a TV day for everybody because mm-hmm. we are wiped out. We're sick, or something like that has happened. Some days you just have those days where no one does anything, and that's just a part of reality. But that doesn't mean every day. And I think that's something that people need to not feel ashamed of those days where, you know what, we're not reaching 100% every goal that we would like to reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a homeschooling family like us, okay, maybe there's a day where, man, we didn't get to cover all the bases we wanted to cover in this one thing. And to be like, okay, you know what, that's okay because, you know, they – sat over in that corner and were actually just writing a story on their own. You know, so there's a lot of slack that a parent can cut themselves and not hold themselves to these really unrealistic pictures of being mm-hmm. the perfect parent.
I think there's this thing where parents are out in public and people do not expect children to be children.
Oh, gosh.
There's so many things where I see people post their little, like, information videos where, like, PSA, if you're out and your kid is screaming, then maybe you shouldn't be out there. And I'm like, are children not allowed to live in the spaces that we live in?
Yeah. And I mean,
you, the thing, who don't like kids, don't go to the public spaces.
One thing I hate as well, and this might step on toes, is when you have a little baby, you know, and we're about to have another little baby, and I just know when we bring this baby into public,
mm-hmm.
well-meaning people who weren't thinking about the ramifications, what they're saying, come up and be like, oh, are they a good little baby? Are they good?
They're a baby.
And what they mean by that is your baby sleeping without screaming all by themselves? And is your baby not inconvenient? I want to tell you one thing right now. A baby is inconvenient.
They're not meant to be convenient.
They are by nature going to change your life and derail anything that you had going on that had nothing to do with the baby.
And
that's the expectation.
It's a little dude who is completely, like I said earlier, dependent upon you.
Yes.
Like they can do nothing. They can't do anything on their own.
They can't live by themselves.
Yeah.
They are literally attached to you. So when.
And they have no other way to communicate to you but to cry.
And seriously, and that's another thing too, is that we kind of live in this culture, and we have for a while, where a crying baby is like considered, oh, there's something wrong. If your baby's crying, that means there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. There's a problem you have to fix. No, that's just how they talk. Like, it doesn't mean they're sad. It means that they have a feeling and they are expressing it.
And even older children are children. I just really hate the idea of like, let's just knock the joy out of kids so they sit there still and don't move.
Yeah.
I do think, I know that I've seen parents and they're not, their kids are just terrorizing a restaurant.
Yeah.
And tearing things up and running into other people. And it's your job as a parent to try to rein that in.
Yeah, sure.
And if you're not, then there's an issue there.
Yeah.
Your kid, being a child and moving around, that's normal.
Yeah.
Please, I would be more worried if your 4-year-old sat there, like, just completely straight back and didn't move or talk. That would scare me. I would be like, are they okay?
Yeah, what's happening? How did you, what happened to make that
happen? What
did
you do and how do I not do it?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely, children are going to be children. And look, the one thing that I can talk to is, because we don't really go into restaurants.
Because it's exhausting for you.
Because it's exhausting, and like I get overstimulated because my kids are. But like sitting through a church service, look, our church has a long service. But my son, 8 years old, is getting to that point now where he's able to sit there quietly and be totally fine.
Yeah, he can sit there periodically through parts of it, and you could probably give him like a notepad or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. It's that kind of thing. And you know, sometimes he takes a nap, and I'm like, you know what? That's okay.
And you're probably starting to teach your girls a little bit how to, but it's still a little difficult.
Yeah, and it varies from child to child. Sometimes it's easy for a kid to do that. Sometimes they want to because they can just like daydream or whatever. But I think not having – and I used to be the parent where if my toddler screamed out in the service, I would just get so frustrated and so stressed out.
Because you're worried about everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, look, I need to also be worried about the toddler. Like, yeah, it's hard. It's hard for an adult to sit through a service sometimes. It's definitely hard for a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Have some grace. It's okay. No one's getting hurt. You can take them out when they calm down. Maybe bring them in. Maybe you don't. It's not the end of the world. And so people need to be stop being so uptight about babies making noises. And parents, if you have a small child who – and maybe you've been scolded. Maybe you've gotten the looks, you know, in public of, you know, your child having a quote unquote meltdown when it's not really a meltdown. They're just being a kid. You can be okay. Like, it's okay. Give them space to be a kid. Teach them what it means to be kind and gentle and respectful to other people.
They'll learn how to be considerate if you're teaching them.
Yeah. And it's not good. They're not going to get it right away.
No,
and you'll have to gently
process.
Remind them over and over, hey, we don't just go up to people and poke them.
But you have to start the process.
Yeah, you do.
It's just not magically going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, they will probably just, due to age, calm down some.
Yeah.
But you got to start teaching them and how to sit, how to sit in church.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a learning experience.
Yeah.
And they're kids. And when you don't understand everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember being a child, and I didn't know what my pastor was talking about.
Yeah.
I was sitting there with my little coloring pad and stuff. I didn't know what was going on through half of it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what the words meant.
Yep.
But.
Yeah.
I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, something that sort of kind of reveals our, you know, undue irritation towards children in those kind of scenarios. If you see an adult kind of having a problem, you know, like sitting through a service, you don't really have a problem with them, like, because your standard for an adult is different than your standard for a kid. And just reminding yourself, look, our feelings are the same. No matter if you're an adult or a child, the feelings that you have are the same. The discomfort that I have sitting through a sermon or sitting through anything long, a plane ride or whatever the case may be, is the same discomfort they're feeling. I'm just more practiced in how to handle that. They've got no practice. They've never handled it at all. They can't all of a sudden be experts at how to do that. And so giving them the grace that you would give anyone else and to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm here to support you. What do you need? Here's a notepad to scribble on, or maybe we need to just leave for a second.
I've passed back back the little notepad and pen to somebody. Their kid was having trouble, you know, in church, and I'm like, would this help? And they're like, oh yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, we forgot the diaper bag with all the toys.
We left it in the car.
or
we took their little notepad out of the bag and or something, you know.
Yeah.
And instead of just sitting there complaining and rolling your eyes, maybe you, like I said, you can be helpful.
Yeah.
In that scenario.
Yeah.
Sit at the end of the pew so the kid can't run out while they're trying to wrangle the other one, you know?
Yeah. And also, I think, too, it is a real shame that as a culture, we've become so not kid-friendly, you know, where we have this expectation, like the whole, you know, kids are to be seen and not heard kind of attitude that's like a holdover from the Victorian period.
Mm-hmm.
It's not realistic at all, and it's not good for kids. We need to be a culture that accepts kids. I mean, especially if we call ourselves, you know, we're pro-life. We stand up for families. We have these family values. But once a family dare act like a family with kids, we're rolling our eyes at them. And we're like, this space is not for you. Then there's an issue there. And we need to really adjust our expectations, be a little bit more gracious towards families with small kids. And maybe it's okay if there's a noisy kid in the room.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's fine.
I also think, just to point out, that I think it's okay that if kids don't have the quote-unquote perfect childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let them be kids.
Yes.
And, I mean, direct them and guide them as best you can in the ways of God and Scripture, and teach them those things.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, let them be kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what they are.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just beat the joy out of these children.
Yeah.
And there is so much, there's so much pressure on some kids to grow up and be perfect. And then they have extremely low mental health because they have to be perfect. If I'm not perfect, then I'm a failure.
Yeah.
My parents hate me.
Man.
You know, because I bring home a bad grade, my dad screams at me.
Man,
But he never sits and helps me with my homework to make sure I'm getting it right.
Man, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that kind of, it makes me think of, like, how are you teaching your children, you know, the way to be loved? Like, what makes them able to be loved? It's how we express love to them. If they make a mistake and we are like, okay, maybe we don't say it, maybe we don't even think it or feel it, but if it just comes across to them as, wow, you don't love me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden I'm hated or I'm outcast or you've closed me off. You're withholding any sort of closeness because of this mistake. And it could be anything. And I see people do this all the time with the smallest little things. You're teaching your kids that one day, man, I'm going to grow up and I have to earn love.
Yeah.
And what kind of messed up relationships is that going to create? We see it all the time with people, you know, who maybe they get married, maybe they don't, and they have kids, and then the relationship is just dysfunctional because their expectations for what makes someone worthy of love is so twisted because their parents didn't present it in the right way and didn't show them the love of God, which is unconditional, and God doesn't withhold himself from us.
Mm-hmm.
Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So if it's usually the opposite. So that's what we need to be doing as parents. When our kids step out of line, they do something that's frustrating, we need to be training ourselves. We need to be raising ourselves along with our kids to respond in a way that is reflective of God's response to us when we fail. Because we want to teach them about what is true love? What does the love of God look like? So that one day, maybe they can grow up to be well-adjusted adults.
Yeah, and maybe take a little time to really just appreciate and enjoy the little moments yes. where the kid, where they're just having fun and playing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just enjoy those moments. The other day, I had my nephews and my niece, and I said, well, come on, I'll stand outside. Y'all can play outside.
Yeah.
And they immediately screamed, pile of dirt! And they ran straight for this giant pile of dirt out of my mom's house. And they're out there with their little toy shovels just digging. The 4-year-old is burying flowers. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't care. And they're just grinning and having fun.
Yeah.
And those are the good moments. And that's what kids are and what yeah. they're supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. And you just have to do the hard work yeah. of, you know, bathing them and getting them dressed after.
I didn't. I sent them back into their mom. I'm like, go see your mama.
Go show her what you did.
Go show her the dirt.
Oh, we've been in that situation yeah. before. Yeah. But yeah, yeah. Just let them be kids and really enjoy them, because this is a time of life that they're not going to get back.
Yeah.
And
you're not going to get it back either.
You're not going to get it back either. And you're going to look back on some baby pictures one day and really wish that you had been present.
Yeah.
If you're not. So that's,
and had not been so focused on them being perfect.
Yes, exactly. Because that's not going to happen. And it shouldn't happen. Let them be kids. Let them be humans. And show them what the love of God looks like. Well, with 30 seconds left, I just want to remind you guys, if you're interested in pro-family stuff at all, AFA.net is the place to be, because you can see all sorts of things that AFA has to offer, including other radio programs. Look, just go to AFA.net, click on the podcast tab at yep. the top.
And or you can go to AFR.net if you're not interested in any other stuff, mm-hmm. but we have tons of other stuff at AFA.net.
Absolutely. So AFA.net or AFR.net, and you can see a bunch of really great resources for you and your family. And yeah, guys, until next week, keep sharing truth and applying scripture.